Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And that debt is fraud. We want to also encourage you to get involved in using your, if you use prayer as a tool, get involved in using that tool in your tool chest or in your tool belt. And more importantly, your campaign begins today. We need to start working, or you need to start helping people understand getting constitutional compliance by our public servants is the only answer. And the only way we can do that is through interposition, and we need people to actually lead on that. I hope you understand that things just don't happen on their own. And if you really care, and if you have any confidence in being able to read a petition and actually go up and actually provide the petition, you can even summarize it. You don't have to read the whole thing. But I'm here to tell you, if you read the whole thing, then everybody in the audience that hears you read, they're going to hear the entire argument. 9 times out of 10, getting people to read is difficult. It's the indictment of our society today. So this is one of the reasons why we actually read on this show, so that we can get it done for you and with you. I mean, we more than invite you, we give you the documentation, we highlight it so that, you know, you can kind of, you should be able to easily follow along. Now, today, our focus is trying to set effective goals. And so there's a lot of content to kind of cover, but we'd like to kind of dive into this so we can take care of this. Now, there's a lot of ambiguity because I really don't know you. But I believe you have aspirations. I believe everybody wants something better. Sometimes it's very simple. See, I want a better car. Yeah, I want a better wallet. I want a better job. But what we need to do, or what I'm going to focus on today, is getting you to really look at what you really want. What is your ultimate goal? Now, I commend everybody that says, you know, to have a successful marriage, have a good, healthy, and I will just say spiritual family. There's all sorts of things that would be good and noble, but what we want to do is we want to actually tailor this towards a level of success. Now, whatever it is, let's say it's the patriarch. If you're going to be the best patriarch, just like if you're going to be the best matriarch or the best mother in all of the world, then it takes education, it takes hands-on, it takes skills. I mean, there's all sorts of things. If you're going to be a homemaker, if you're going to be a provider, whatever those things are, what we're looking for you to do is actually kind of zone in on what you really want to do. I just refer to this as your ultimate goal. And as a matter of fact, I want you to understand that you should have multiple ultimate goals. If you're a really driven person, you should have multiple ultimate goals. You should have an ultimate goal for your family. You should have an ultimate goal for your career. You should have an ultimate goal for your health. You should have an ultimate goal for, well, I mean, finances kind of comes into that with your job, but not necessarily. See, you can't marginalize anything when it comes to, well, that'll just be taken care of because I'm making lots of money. No, to become financially successful, you have to be able to put yourself into a discipline to, you know, save money and invest it and have an investing plan and so forth. So there's a level of work, but the hardest job, the first big step that everybody has to take is, what is it that I want to do? Now, this all applies when you really start examining your situation. When you examine what you want to do, what is that ultimate goal? Usually there's lots of things that applies, but what we're going to focus on today because most people have the hardest time regarding careers and, you know, their ultimate goal in their professional life, their career, what have you. And so when we really kind of look at this, do you want to be the president? Do you want to be the owner? Do you want to be a director? Do you want to be a technical person? You know, some people really like doing technical stuff, working with their hands. They want to do the work. I know plenty of people, and there's nothing wrong with this. I know plenty of people that are very satisfied by, you know, actually, you know, breaking their knuckles, you know, in a mechanic shop or whatever. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, you can be very successful in anything and everything you do. But if you want to be more successful, if you're going to have your own business or your own shop and you're going to be taking care of, you know, I'll just say all sorts of customers for a car or what have you, then if you don't get some education, then you're short selling yourself. What do you mean by that? Well, do you need an education? Absolutely you do. If you're going to have a business, I would highly recommend getting business education. Now, do you need a degree? I don't think so. It helps if you want to actually launch off of the position that you're in and go into a greater position like, you know, O'Reilly's Auto Parts. I'm just trying to keep things synchronized on the particular focus at the point. But when we look at what is it you, where you want to end up, do you, you know, there's nothing wrong with keeping it small. If you keep it small, you keep it all. And as a matter of fact, there is some reasons I get from people is that they just don't want the risk. They don't, you know, they know that the higher you climb, the, you know, the more dangerous the fall is. In other words, the impact is much bigger if you fall. And so whatever you're making these decisions, right, wrong, or indifferent, they are your decisions. I made a mistake a long time ago telling everybody that they should be aspiring to do, you know, something more than just this. Now, I was in a room with some, you know, senior people that had, you know, they'd had these jobs for a long time. And they were just happy with what they were doing. And again, that was a huge mistake on my part to presume that everybody wants to improve their lot. Now, if it's pay, there are things that go along with that. You have to bring more to the table. If they're already paying you for a certain amount of money, you'll get your stipend every year, 2%, 3%, what if the company even offers those. But if you want to get a serious increase in pay, you either go get certifications or you get an education or what have you. And I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of times, if you're working at a company and you go get a degree and you come back with that degree and you lay it on the table and say, now I'm at a degree level. And they'll go, okay, great. Thanks for going and doing that. You're a better person. And you want to, you know, you have to step in and say, well, I think I deserve more money now. And they go, well, why? You've been doing the same thing. And see, that's the point. If you're going to go and make improvements, you have to be able to understand that it's like the milk analogy. You know, why should I pay more money for milk when I'm getting the milk out of you or getting this labor out of you for what I'm paying you now? And so most people, and this is, I think, one of the reasons why the careers of the careers of our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers are kind of going by the wayside. Now, the reason why we don't have retirements anymore, we don't have a lot of these perks and benefits that they used to have if you'd, you know, just get a job and you'd stay and be happy with the company and become a part of the culture and family. The reason is because more and more people only come in and they get an entry-level job, and then when they get some more experience or what have you, they jump to the next company because that's how you can get the most significant pay increase. Because you say, well, I've been working with these guys, I've been doing all this stuff, I'm certified now at this level and so forth. Because you, 9 times out of 10, most employers do not recognize, you know, it's cheaper to keep her. It's cheaper to keep that employee. They just think, no, we're going to just try to marginalize you regardless of what you're doing. And this is a big mistake. This is a huge mistake a lot of companies make. And so if they had, you know, up to date education on business management, business finance, those types of things, then they would be apprised with, and they would probably be more than happy to work with you. As a matter of fact, if you're working for a company that is absolutely working with you in setting effective goals for yourself as well as for the company, then you've got a great job. Because they're actually pushing you, they're trying to get you to be better, and they see all of this potential in you. And a good company does that with all of their employees, not just their golden childs or what have you. Okay, so you got to figure out what it is you want to do. You got to figure out where you want to go. And from that point, then you need to actually start looking at what's it going to take to get to that. If you want to be a CEO, can you become a CEO without getting a degree, without having a degree? Can you be a CEO with, you know, what type of degree do you need, or what type of experience, skills? There's all of these different little nuances that are all associated. Now, again, you can apply these things in your marriage. You can apply these things in almost everything you do. The problem is we get complacent. The problem is that when we look at where we are, oh, this is good enough. Now, better is the enemy of good enough if you're just trying to get something done and get it out. But never sell yourself short. Whenever you say, well, this is good enough for now, you're selling yourself short. You need to find time. You need to figure out ways you can actually leverage, get more time or more efficiently using your time. One of the things that I will tell you is you need to, and actually if you've taken college, a lot of times they'll give you these introductory time management and that type of stuff as you get involved. And one of the things that they do is they have you chart out your day, every day, what you do for Monday. And I would recommend doing it in 6-minute intervals. Why? Because that's 1/10 of an hour. And so if you look at, okay, it took me, let's say three and a half or four, just round it up or round it down, whatever, but try to cover it in 6-minute intervals. And so by doing that, you get into the habit of looking at a hour by tenths, first off. And that really helps you in recording your labor or tracking your time. More importantly, when you get up in the morning, how long does it take? What? Look at the clock and observe what it takes for you to do every little task. And, you know, wake up, brush my teeth, comb my hair, whatever your hygiene routine is, reading scriptures, whatever your personal routine, having breakfast, those types of things. Keep track of this and actually keep this log. And I would continue this log. I would probably say you need to do it for a month, because you're going to have outlier days, and you need to understand what sometimes you actually do a task monthly that, you know, you wouldn't even see if you did it for 1 week, and you'd go, oh, okay, well, then you'd recognize that when that new task comes in on a monthly basis or whatever you have to do, you go, wow, it just blew my schedule. I can't live by this tight schedule unless you account for all of these things. Now, there's always going to be things that will come in that are outliers or aberrations, but understanding when and where. Because what you want to do is, when you look at this, be smart. You're going to look at this on a week-by-week basis, and you're going to find areas and spots, and, you know, I'll just call them holidays, where you probably are watching TV. Account for everything. And then you need to, I would even use a color code. I would use a color code for things that are being, when you're doing things that are productive. And I would use yellow when you're doing nothing productive at all. Now, driving to work, driving home, that's productive. You got to get yourself there. You got to get back. But when you're eating, it's, you know, that's one of those things. Is it productive or not productive? Well, you got to eat to have energy. You got to eat to be successful in all things. So absolutely, you need to kind of color that green. But you need to also look at some of these things so that you go, am I spending too much time? When I go to lunch and I sit down and I chit-chat, can I be more efficient and more effective? Now, it all depends on what you want to be. If you want to be the friendliest guy and the chatty Kathy, whatever, then spending lots of time and standing at the water cooler and talking, that is fine because you'll have lots of friends and maybe a lot of people will come to your funeral, but that doesn't necessarily get you to being the president or the owner or whatever that transition is. So when you look at these ultimate goals, look at this ultimate goal as the top of your mountain. And as you're looking at this ultimate goal, if it is a goal that is that, you know, not too far away, then you can go, okay, you know, I see that. But I'm going to tell you that if you're marginalizing yourself, then how can you expect other people to take you seriously? When you actually sell yourself short and say, well, this is good enough, then everybody else is going, well, that's good enough for him. And they're going to sell you short. When you provide an insight to people that you know, it doesn't matter to you, it won't matter to them either. So you need to always have this huge standard. You need to have, you know, this, it's got to be better. Do not take this, what I will call an adage, because you've heard me say it before, better is the enemy of good enough. When it comes to you, you can always be better, and you need to always work on that. And actually, if you think about Christianity, isn't that what we should be doing? We should always be getting better. So when you look at what is it going to take to get to where you want to be, there are going to be positions that may be critical to that. You need to understand, what does it take to be that CEO? You're going to have to read up on it. You're going to have to figure out what type of CEO that is. Are there technical positions that you need to take? Are there functional? When I say functional, it's like supervisor, you know, managing people, having difficult conversations. This is one thing that everybody dreads. I've never walked into work and said, boy, I'm looking forward to some really difficult conversations. We got to lay some people off and I'm looking forward to that. Nobody likes that. So you have to build these types of these skills, the ability to do those things. And the way you do that is you have to actually get into some of those positions. You need to be a functional supervisor, a section head. You need to be a lead, whether that be engineering lead or what have you, or plant lead, program management or planning. And or architectural design, architectural lead. There's all of these different management leadership types of positions that would be relevant for you to actually acquire, I'll just say, as stepping stones to get to where you need to be. Now, most companies, they hire, and when we look at the corporate world today, and we look at large corporations are basically vacuums that suck in very specific people because it doesn't matter. They're only ingratiating, they're only putting wind in the sails of the elite who they want to bring in. In other words, the family names, those types of things. In other words, if it is your goal to become the CEO of Walmart or the CEO of Google or something like that, or Microsoft, then you're going to have a huge challenge because those types of globalist corporations only look for those who are compromised. In other words, they want somebody that can do the job, but they also want somebody that's compromised. I shouldn't even say compromised, as long as you're corrupt. You've heard me say this. There's not a billionaire out there that's not compromised. There's not a billionaire out there that didn't do corrupt things to get to where they are. I don't believe in today's climate, in today's world, if there is a clean and, you know, quality billionaire that would never, you know, never look the other way or never, you know, took advantage or sought advantages, because when you're seeking advantages, that's good for your business. But that's also where you, you know, open the door for corruption and or other, I'll just say, bad actions. And so as we kind of look at the different positions that you can get to becoming that ultimate position, you need to understand how to get into these other positions, like a technical lead, a functional supervisor, so forth. And you need to look at your company and figure out, you know, what is the layout of your company? Do they have these types of positions? What type of positions do they have that by walking through and accepting more responsibility and more work? And in a lot of cases, folks, when you go into functional management, there's a lot more responsibility, there's a lot more work, and they don't pay you that much to do it. And the reason you do it is because that's where you start rubbing the elbows with the executive suite. HR, those types of things. Another thing you need to look at is your education as well as management skills. In other words, looking to become more aware of processes, more responsible in, you know, leadership, whether they be area technical, functional, those types of things. And as well as even training, not just for yourself, but for other people. Now, education is always one of those things that will actually help improve either core competencies, technical competencies, and or formal degrees. And so when you look at your education, certifications is it's like a core competency, but it's really not. A certification for a network engineer, there's all sorts of certifications that you can get. And every certification just builds upon either your core principle or not core competencies and or your advanced levels of those competencies, right? So you have these, you can do ATM, you can do HIPPE. There's all different types of networks out there that you, and some of them are arcane, some of them aren't used, but in many hybrid systems, they will actually utilize networking in very, I'll just say, very complicated designs. And so when you walk into most technology today, they do things really simple, because it's easy and it gets the job done. Can they do it better? Well, when you're looking at truly high performance, as a matter of fact, the system that we worked on, that we actually did for our customer, it had, let me see, we had ATM, we had GigE, we had NUMA networking, as well as HIPPE networking. So we actually had four different types of network in this data warehouse that we had. And so to be a network engineer, you needed to understand it in this job or in this position, you needed to understand all four of these types of networking technologies. So the point is that you can always settle and you can always keep it simple. But sometimes you may find this aberration where, wow, I mean, that's a really complex, that's like supercomputing type of thing. And so that's where you may want to pursue or start looking at that, because actually do this. One of the things I tell younger kids, go look at the job salaries of different types of computer, you know, whether it be data management, whatever. Look at this different salaries under this umbrella we call the computer industry, computer sciences, and you'll probably find that in certain software, certain systems and so forth, there's some really big salaries just for the salary. And then when you get into management and leadership, it's even greater than that. Why? Because of the complexity. And so if you're looking for those types of high-paying jobs, then you really need to get educated. You really need to develop those skills. We'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so now we're talking about education, we're talking about management, we're talking about skills and so forth. So all of these things are necessary to help you acquire something more. Now, even if we're going back to a garage, even if there's a simple job that you're doing, even if it's a farmer, do you have the education necessary to actually, you know, do the finances? I mean, because a lot of people, as a matter of fact, I'll even say this. When you consider becoming a doctor, most doctors understand that they need a business degree because either they will have their own practice or they will go work for somebody else because they don't have a business degree. You want to be able to be as self-sufficient as possible, or you don't. Whatever those choices are, you have to actually look at going, okay, I want to be more autonomous. I want to actually be self-sustaining, which means that you need to learn more. You're going to need to spend more time. And actually, this is why many doctors, that at least those who have their own practices that I know, they went out and got an MBA. And in getting their MBA, it gave them what they needed to understand in doing, you know, all of the filing, taxes, accounting, that type of stuff. And you could always hire people, but when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your business, it's always, I mean, it may take more time out of you to look at it, but even if you hire somebody, even in your, when you're in that seat and position, you need to have oversight, just like with government. When you hire somebody to provide you services, you need to have oversight over that. And if you don't know what they're doing, this always leads to a potential, a high potential of somebody taking advantage. So anyway, as we kind of go through, when we look at education, just on education alone, there are technical types of educations for improving your core competencies. Again, like I said, certificates, degrees, those type of things. And the same thing in management. Now, there's nowhere where you're going to get leadership training. Now, go join the Marine Corps if you really want, you know, top-notch leadership training, because that's where they drive in leadership, solving problems, thinking for yourself, and then eventually leading others. And I tell you what, it's not easy when you're sitting there as whatever your rank is, and you've got junior people underneath you, and these people are being aspired as leaders as well. In other words, it's a very cutthroat world. I have seen many, especially in the discipline I was working in, the intelligence community, I saw a lot of backstabbing and a lot of eating their own young and that type of thing. So, I mean, the stress is really high when it comes to, you know, are you leading? Are there people, you know, running around your back, going around your back to, you know, upper, you know, the boss and so forth above you, and basically, you know, complaining or providing information? I mean, it's just, it's unconscionable that you'd think that those types of things happen, especially in the intelligence community. But nine times out of 10, like I said, if there's a probability that can go wrong, the greater the risk or the greater, you know, the potential increases that things going wrong. It increases these types of things happening to you. And so, oh, because these, you know, we supposedly trust each other, right? I tell you what, I saw lots of people, you know, getting eaten alive because they absolutely had blind trust towards those people they were working with. Now, when we talk about core competencies have very specific things that are towards the skills that you have to take, the skills that you need to develop, whether that be, you know, surgical skills, whether that be engineering type of skills, whether that be physical, technical, what have you, or sales, core competencies in sales, being able to read people, administration, being able to do processes is huge. When, you know, almost everything we do, it's about processes. No matter where you go, whether it's a store, what have you, when you walk in, there are processes that are happening that are just boom, 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 just one after another. You walk in, if you're buying a car, if you're going to go have dinner or what have you, every business you walk into is about processes. And the better you understand processes, then the better it is you can break down, you know, what the problems are and how to fix them and improve upon them. Anyway, attributes is another thing that is really your, I'll just say, when we look at people's attributes, this is what you have that, well, let's just say whether you actually have the... there's a word for this. There's kind of like an aptitude when you talk about attributes, because when we look at your productivity, your aptitude to that, in other words, always keeping in sync, you know, one of my favorite sayings that I heard in the audio business, when I was working in audio, there was a warehouse lead, and she had a lot of people working for her. This was in Hawaii, and she had a sign because she was always trying to make sure that warehouse was clean. And so she had signs all over the place that said, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. So those types of things that, you know, you have to, you know, kind of improve and stay on top of. You know, there was no way she was going to lose her job because she was on top of everybody. The point is that you have to develop that, these types of attributes. And if you have the aptitude to do that, or if you can develop that, I hate to say aptitude, because you really can't develop your aptitude, but you can actually develop your thinking processes and those types of things. And in some cases, folks, you're going to have to play games, because sometimes games force you to start solving problems multiple steps ahead of time. Chess is a great game. There's video games and those types of things that help do eye-hand coordination, those types of things. Depending on what you need, look at what would be the most appropriate to develop those types of things. Your skills, your versatility and or willingness or flexibility. When I say versatility, sometimes that means you can do, you know, jack of many trades, expert of none. Or versatility meaning you're willing to do things that you're not comfortable with, or you're flexible to, you know, travel and do those types of things. Communications is essential no matter where you go. Do you have good communications? Can you actually articulate well, or do you struggle like me trying to figure out a word? Cooperation and teamwork. Do you work well with others? Can you actually, you know, allow somebody to say, well, let's do this? When you have a team, do you have to be in charge, or do you have to follow? Are you willing to take in and step in and out of either of the roles? Those types of things are things you have to develop. And again, the most important thing I'm going to emphasize is process improvement. Understanding processes and understanding that, you know, there is a series of processes that occur, boom, 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 and it's all one big process. Even the process of building a car is a multitude of processes. So don't think that these things aren't important. You really need to look in where you want to go and what you want to do, what is all involved in that. And one of the things that is really hard for most people, I'll just say, to get their arms around is becoming a part of the company culture. When you look at this company, whatever company you're working for, whatever you're doing, nine times out of ten, there's this history behind this, and they do create their own culture. And so when you go in there and you really, if you're aspiring to actually, make an opportunity out of this job that you have, then you need to understand what the company or the business or, the facility, however it is. Let's say you're a doctor and you're running your own business, but you're working out of a couple of hospitals. Well, you need to know what the objectives are for each of the hospitals. And nine times out of ten, it's the bottom line. Everybody's looking to make more money. Your corporation that you're working for, if you've got a job, they're looking to make more money. Now, there's a lot of ways to make money. I'll just give you an example of one of the ways I was able to save our customer millions of dollars by, instead of having a maintenance contract by the manufacturer that was making the hardware, like Dell or what have you, we went out and we basically got ourselves certified so that we could do all the work locally. In other words, and we trained the trainers. In other words, there's one thing to have certified engineers, but it's another thing to have people that actually can do the work, because you may pay a little bit more for the certifications, but when you have people that know ins and outs and they actually have people that they can tap on the shoulder that have those certifications, what have you. So you create a system like that, and you may increase your labor costs, but overall your maintenance costs go down, because corporations, they make big bucks. We save millions. I think it was came to the tune of over $20 million over like a 4 or 5 year period, because we had that many systems that we were supporting. And so we had people there, and we were absolutely blowing the roof off of expectations. We were exceeding expectations big time by doing this one thing. And so there's no reason why, if you're looking at things, you got to look and think out of the box sometimes. You got to go, how can we actually do this better, save them money, and think? Because it always comes down to that bottom line. Some people just go easy. Oh, well, it's just easier to just, throw that service support in there. Especially if it's a critical systems or if it's something that you want to have. I mean, how many times have you heard when you go and buy a television, getting that extended warranty is how they get you? Because nine times out of ten, that TV, if it's going to break, it'll break within its, first couple of months or when during the window for the manufacturer's warranty. You take a chance. Yeah, you do. But overall, I mean, in my rule of thumb, I've always said I will never buy that. And over time, we've added up how much we would have paid for these extended warranties, and we've pocketed enough money to basically deal with any types of problems, maintenance problems we have when we bought something that broke down outside of its manufactured warranty. And so, why not let your money work for you instead of giving it to somebody else to work for? It's kind of the same thing with pet insurance. When you start looking at how you're running the finances, do you have a pet insurance? I know a few people do that. And I'm here to tell you, unless you really have a sucking chest wound pet, in other words, a pet just has all the hard luck and it's just, plagued with all sorts of problems, then maybe you want to keep that insurance. But nine times out of ten, they're still making profit off of you. And so what you need to consider is just saving money and putting it aside instead of actually throwing it into this investment. These are ways you can start thinking of doing more for yourself and less for somebody else. But when we look at the company and we look at the organization you're working for, they have these objectives. They need to be able to bring in new business. What is the new technology that you need to have? In other words, you need to start either hiring or you need to start preparing your staff with the education necessary so they can make the shift over from one type of system to another type of system, another type of software to another type of software, because things are constantly moving. And so you need to stay on top of that. And if you're going to become a manager, you actually need to make sure that you're tapping people on the shoulder to say, look, you've got 5 years on this program, and so you may want to start introducing you to some of these new trends that are coming in so that in 5 years you'll be prepared to, you know, jump into the new direction where we're going, or the people that are, you know, having to do this dynamically. Then you end up hiring people because, you know, you just need to have somebody because it's the new technology, it's what your customer wants and so forth. So you need to understand how to create these objectives so that you can basically, we call them trickle down objectives from the corporate high down to the, you know, the business unit to the division and down to your section. And so as we kind of look at what these different goals are, all of them basically equate up, if you're tuning your organizational goals. Why am I talking about organizational goals? Because remember, when you are working for an organization, they want to make sure that you're not just there working for you. If you want to have a career, you want to have promotions and so forth, when they see that you're actually attuned to what their objectives and what they need by, you know, keeping people trained and what have you, then you find yourself in a situation and or a position that makes it very valuable to them because they go, wow, we can't afford to lose this guy. We can't afford to lose this person. And so you can eventually get yourself into a position where you float around. And because your leadership and your insights and so forth become so valuable that you can literally go and save programs, or you can save, you know, business units and our sections by just walking in because you're aware of the processes. It comes down to that. Almost, it doesn't matter what the business is. It doesn't have to be engineering. It could be food service. Processes. Everything is a process. Okay, so you got these trickle-down objectives. You want to make sure that in tuning your goals, you include the corporation annual goals, their annual direction, their strategic vision, so that you are kind of supporting that. You don't want it to consume you, but you have to at least put up a good front so that they see that you are a good corporate citizen, if that makes sense. So when you start creating these goals, what you have to do is you have to start being honest with yourself and identifying what your shortfalls are. Are your shortfalls in your competencies? Are your shortfalls in your education? Are your shortfalls in your management or your personal skills? What are your shortfalls? Now, a person that is, I don't want to say driven, but I think it was G. Gordon Libby, who worked, I think, in the CIA. I forget, but I remember he was involved in Watergate. And I remember my father telling me a story about him, that he was always trying to conquer his fears. He was always trying to make sure that there was nothing that could keep him back. And so he, whatever his fears were, fears of spiders, fears of this or snakes or whatever, he got himself over his fears. He found out what his fears were. He confronted them and he dealt with them so that they no longer possessed him. This is the same thing that we all have to do when we start looking at where our weaknesses are, because if you get really good at finding your weaknesses and turning them into your strengths, then eventually you're not going to have hardly any weaknesses other than new ones, because as you ascend, you start realizing how far you have to go. And so one of the things that you need to do is you need to always be developing yourself in your goals. So when you're sitting down at the end of the day, now that it's New Year's and now we've got 8 minutes left, at the end of the day, you're setting your goals for this year. What you need to do is you need to make sure that they're SMART goals, right? In other words, they need to be sizable. They need to be measurable. They need to be, what's the A? What is the A in SMART? Achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Specific, measurable, achievable. This is out of Peter Drucker's SMART. And it's, you know, as old as he is, these are still relevant ways of setting goals. In other words, if you've got 1 year to set your goals and to say, I'm going to do this, I'll get this done, I'm going to do that, then you need to make sure that your goal isn't getting a 4-year degree in 1 year. In other words, is it measurable? Is that achievable? You know, can you actually, you know, account for you actually getting that done? Is it specific? So you need to start figuring out, looking at the direction. Now, let's kind of look metaphorically at where that ultimate goal is. It's at the top of a mountain. You're at a different position. You may be on a different hill altogether. You need to move over to that mountain, or you need to move yourself up that mountain. Do you go straight up the sheer rock, or do you segue back and forth and call it switchbacks, back and forth and back and forth? You have to figure out where the positions are and how many positions you can get in a year, or how many things you can do in a year. So that, one, they are measurable and achievable. And then you want to make sure that you're actually going up to the top where you want to go, and you're not going backwards. Because relevance is king. You need to make sure that whatever your goals are, that you're maintaining relevance to them. Because if all of a sudden you're deciding to start learning about, you know, nutrition, where that may not be relevant for systems engineering, or it may not be relevant for ranching or auto repairs, what have you. You want to make sure that the goals that you're doing are actually working on that path to getting to you to where you want to be. Is it getting registered and being and starting your first class for your degree? Yeah, see, that's relevant, because if you need a degree to get where you're going, then there you go. If you don't need a degree and you're just going to go and take YouTube directing classes, then there's no relevance to that. And the problem that we have today is there's so many people that have chased things that are so irrelevant that they're incapable of even being productive in America, which is one of the reasons why corporations are demanding these H-1Bs, or whatever they call them, these visas of technical skilled people coming in from other nations to actually do work in America. We need to be doing that. And hopefully there's plenty of you listening that actually want to go down that path or are already on that path, getting other people onto the same path so that we can actually pick America up by our shirt tails and, you know, by our bootstraps, instead of having people coming from another country to do it. I am not a fan of, you know, hiring foreigners to actually come into America to do the heavy lifting. It's when we do this, this is what makes America great, period. And so time bound. You want to make sure that, you know, you get things done on time, and you want to make sure that you can commit to that time. You don't go and say, I'm going to enroll in college, where you won't be able to commit the study time, the research, or the travel, or whatever the time is that you have to commit to whatever goal it is you want to make. Be ambitious, be bold. By being ambitious or being bold, you may actually have, you know, a few setbacks. But if you are that ambitious and that bold, you'll probably have more successes than setbacks, especially if you have the follow-through. You have the commitment, and the intestinal fortitude to stick with it and get it done. As we kind of lay this all out, you know, some of the many things that we're doing, we're actually trying to get you to not only get your own goals, but to even mesh your goals with your organization that you work for. That way, you know, they see and they may come to you and they may offer you opportunities of saying, hey, we've got some training we need. And, you know, we like what you're doing. We want to actually get you out to this training. Are you willing to do that? Absolutely. When you show them, and as a matter of fact, one of the probably the most relevant things that you can say today is if you lead, they will follow. At whatever level it is you're leading, it may not be at the top of the company, but if you are leading, people will follow you. Because if you're leading, that means that you're offering a vision, you're offering a plan that resonates or basically builds on the core principles of, I'll just say, of your culture, of your work environment. You know, when we talk about great leaders for the nation today, you know, like Trump, is he actually building upon these core principles of calling people to go down this path? You know, we have sold ourselves short in looking and being short-sighted on what kind of leader America needs today. And if we start actually shifting away from, you know, somebody that, you know, has good financial savvy, business sense, I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just not a criteria for a good president. Understanding the Constitution is the most critical criteria there is for any public servant. This is one of the reasons why we demand that we start having them take tests. They need to be able to at least say that when I've taken my oath, I understand what that means to support the Constitution because I understand the Constitution. When you get and expect somebody to actually, you know, work on your car, when you go in and expect somebody to help improve your health, I believe it is only reasonable that that person will actually improve your health or actually fix your car or, you know, do what you're paying them to do. And when we have public servants that actually play political theatrics and they're doing the deeds for the globalists, this is a sad state of affairs. We're in a constitutional crisis. And until we actually get on board with demanding full compliance of the Constitution, we are going to be tossed to and fro. We're going to be basically the Jetson Flotsam just being thrown around by the tide coming and going. We have to actually anchor ourselves, and we actually have to start anchoring our public servants. It's the same thing with your goals, folks. You've got to be anchored, and you've got to be looking at the bigger picture. I know this is kind of a condensed, and usually this would be, you know, several days of, you know, building upon this. But you've got the 101 level, and now you have, you know, I think a good view of how to set goals. One last thing are the old adages, inch by inch, life's a cinch, yard by yard, life is hard. Right? And focus is what separates the chumps from the trumps. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.